Good morning and happy Sunday, everyone. Since my roots are so deep here at Sorrows, I know that I know many of you, but for those who don't know me, my name is Father David Stillman. I'm the son of Deacon Dan and Carol Stillman, who grew up here at Sorrows. Most recently, I was assigned at St. Gerard Majella Parish in Kirkwood, where I was pastor for the last little over 5 years. And tomorrow, I'm actually leaving St. Louis for Boston, where I'm going to be entering religious life as a Carmelite friar. And so it's a real special gift for me to be back home here at Sorrows today to celebrate Sunday Mass with all of you before I go. So I'd be grateful for your prayers, and certainly know that you and Our Lady of Sorrows will always have a special place in my heart and my prayers as well. I'd like to invite you to meditate with me this morning on a little flower and two poor widows, all three of whom have something terribly important to teach us about the Christian life. You likely know that the little flower is the title for Saint Therese of Lisieux. As a cloistered Carmelite nun who only lived to the age of 24, her life was rather hidden and simple. Hardly anyone even knew who she was until the publication of her autobiography after her death. I'd like to read for you a couple paragraphs from the very beginning of that profound work which she has given to the world. Very early on, she writes, "Jesus deigned to teach me this mystery. He set before me the book of nature. I understood how all the flowers he has created are beautiful, how the splendor of the rose and the whiteness of the lily do not take away the perfume of the little violet or the delightful simplicity of the daisy. I understood that if all flowers wanted to be roses, nature would lose her springtime beauty, and the fields would no longer be decked out with little wild flowers. And so it is in the world of souls, Jesus' garden. He willed to create great souls, comparable to lilies and roses, but he has created smaller ones, and these must be content to be daisies or violets, destined to give joy to God's glances when he looks down at his feet." We meet two of these smaller souls in today's readings, two poor widows who are pretty much ignored by most because of their seeming insignificance. The widow in the first reading, she was given by God to one of his great souls, the prophet Elijah, to care for his needs at this time in which he was fleeing and there was a drought. It's interesting to note, in fact, the three requests that Elijah makes of her seem to point to her seeming insignificance, her smallness. He asks her for a small cup of water, a bit of bread, and a little cake. Even in her service to the prophet, her contribution seems rather meager. And yet, what would the prophet have done without it? He may not have even lived another day. Such is the gift, too, of the widow in the gospel who comes to the temple to offer her contribution. We're told that she gave two small coins worth only a few cents. Very meager gift. And yet, amazingly, our Lord speaks incredible words of praise about this gift. "This poor widow," he says, "put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury." Some very strange math here, the divine math of Jesus. How are her two small coins worth more than the large sums of the rich who came to the temple that day? Jesus explains, "They have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she from her poverty has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." There's such an important lesson here from St. Therese's garden and from the meager gifts of these two poor widows. It's a lesson in true discipleship and how to become saints, which ultimately is our call, our vocation from the Lord. St. Therese explains the simple lesson in these words. Perfection, she says, consists in doing his will, in being what he wills us to be. It's that simple. So often I think we hear about great saints, maybe saints from long ago who've become quite famous worldwide, saints like St. Augustine or St. Francis of Assisi, and we're filled with awe and wonder with what they accomplished and the great esteem with which they are held in the world. But if we're not careful, when we think about these great saints, these great souls, these lilies and roses in Jesus' garden, we can easily become discouraged, because it seems like such a far cry from what is possible for us. You and I likely will not be known beyond a very small sphere of family and friends. We won't make headlines like Mother Teresa or Pope John Paul II. But St. Therese and the two poor widows remind us there's no need to be famous to be a saint. In fact, there's not even a need to be canonized to be a saint. That's why the Church celebrates all the saints at the beginning of this month of November. Not only the canonized heroes of our faith, but the ordinary saints who share with them in the glory of eternal life now. No fame, canonization, these are not necessary. What is necessary to be a saint is to contribute all we have to our Lord and his Church, no matter how small it may seem from a worldly perspective. What is necessary is simply to do his will, to be what he wills us to be, no matter how small that may seem. It's the divine life that led to the praise of that widow in the gospel. It's a very consoling truth, and it seems on the surface, in its simplicity, to be so easy. And in a way, it is. Thanks be to God. But it's also quite difficult. Because no matter how small our whole livelihood may be, it's still our whole livelihood that Jesus asks of us. It's our whole livelihood, not just a part, not even just a greater part. Whole livelihood that's demanded of us if we're to merit praise similar to that given by Christ to the widow at the temple. If we're honest, it's a struggle. It's a battle. There's so much that clamors for our devotion, so many false gods, idols to which we're tempted to take from what we owe to the Lord and give instead to them. Which is why at the beginning of every Mass, we need to say, Lord, have mercy. Which is why we all stand in such great need of that gift of mercy offered in the sacrament of confession by our Lord. May this little flower in these two poor widows inspire within each of us this morning a new resolve. Whether we're great lilies or simple violets in Jesus' garden, to give our whole livelihood for his glory. This, in the end, is what it means to be truly poor in the Spirit, to give him our all. And it is, after all, the poor in spirit to whom is given the kingdom of heaven. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us.